Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 357 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
Good evening.
It is Monday night, January 25th, and tonight we're here to talk a little about the new Godzilla vs. Kong trailer, and then we're going to really sink our teeth into season 3 of Cobra Kai.
Like a snake bite.
Well done, Matt. But before we hiss our way into Cobra Kai, we do housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
I just can't.
Do the whole housekeeping bit with snake S's. Do it like Cobra Commander.
.com.
You can slither your way onto our social medias.
You see, do you want to do this? I was going to say.
It's your turn.
And coil yourself around the I don't know. I ran out of steam. So check us out on the social meds. You know the ones. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. You can hit us up there and tell us how much you love the show. You can also go to our new and improved TeePublic storefront. We're back in the house, so you can go there and check out some of the new wares that we have. Old classics like the three-headed McSauce podcast shirt. New things like surprise cheese talk.
And things that we don't do anymore, like Theater Justice.
Because
I guess there's no more theaters.
Because, yeah.
Or Justice.
Well, there was never justice. That was just a dream.
It really was. All of our on the Theater Justice t-shirt, it's a head rolling by the guillotine with some popcorn on the side. And really that head that's been disembodied is just our ability to go to a theater. So.
And yeah, Ian, new cheese talk.
New cheese talk, if you're in the mood for some mixed sauce-tober. Couple different varieties, black and orange and black and white. Very cool designs there. So go to TeePublic, type in McSauce, and you can see all of our cool t-shirt designs. You can also go to Patreon to check out the private reserve, the exclusive episodes that we are doing. Having a lot of fun this year with some private reserves. Hopefully we'll be doing some more stuff. I'm pretty sure on the schedule. Matt and myself are going to want to talk about console wars coming up pretty soon. We have some good Transformer talk between Paul and myself, as well as a couple of different music episodes. I think another music episode is going to go up this week. So check out Patreon, put your $5 down, and get a special delivered episode for yourself. We'll send you a survey, fill it out, and we'll do whatever the heck you want us to do on the episode.
It's so worth it. I can't stress enough how worth it is to sign up for $5. You get all the previous content and you get whatever episode you want. That's a fucking deal.
So if you had a chance to make a podcaster create an episode for you, what podcast and what would you have them do?
Are you asking Matt and I that?
Yeah.
Well, Matt, remember when you're editing this to cut out this long break when we're thinking
about we can always
our podcast and what we would have them do.
Think about it, and then we'll just stick your final answer right in this space here.
I can tell you.
It'll sound totally different. There'll be like things in the background. There'll be clearly another day.
I can tell you right now what I would have them do. It would be Kevin Smith, and I would have it so that he doesn't know he's mic'd up. And he actually tells me what he thinks about a lot of comic book movies and media because he's so he puts on a good positive front, but I know he hates stuff. I know he doesn't like stuff. I know he watches shit and he's like, what the fuck? That's terrible. But he will never say it in a public medium, and that's what I want. I want unfiltered Kevin Smith opinion on the things that he loves and hates, because I know he hates shit.
The hate and listen episodes. It's okay. Do we want to jump into what we were talking about? What are we going to talk about tonight?
Godzilla vs. Kong. I'm a little behind. I haven't seen Godzilla King of the Monsters. But I'm definitely going to watch it. It's on the list.
You have HBO Max, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Matt, I just said it's on the list. I just said I'm definitely going to watch it. I'm going to watch it for sure. I'm not going to watch it as soon as we're done with this episode.
You didn't say that it's on the HBO Max list, which I have. You just said it's on the list. I'm just trying to help you.
Yeah, it's on the list of movies that I want to see that I haven't seen yet.
Is this list publicly available?
No, it definitely
can the fans
isn't.
Is it customer facing?
It's on no, yeah. No, it's not customer facing.
This is
it's
like
on,
I'd
it's,
have
it's
to
on
go
a notepad on my phone.
The admin screen. I'd have to. Oh, there's a list. All right.
Yeah. It's the list is really a ton of horror movies that I haven't seen, plus the Studio Ghibli movies.
Did you get Shudder yet?
No. But I'm gonna break down. I'm gonna break down pretty soon
with your list.
Yeah. Well, that Color Out of Space is only on Shudder now. Mandy's on Shudder. I'm like, motherfuck. I'm gonna have to get Shudder.
Get Shudder, and then every Friday night we can watch The Last Drive-In. Have a watch party. Wouldn't that be fun?
I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah.
Sounds like it could be pretty fun.
It's actually a fun time. Appointment television. The only television I like to do, appointment style.
So I haven't seen Godzilla King of the Monsters, which is the precursor to Godzilla vs. Kong. Ian, did you see King of the Monsters?
I did not. I saw Godzilla. I saw the King Kong movie, but I did not see the sequel to Godzilla.
So, is this King Kong the Kong from Skull Island?
Yes.
And that's a different Kong than from the Peter Jackson one?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like a one-off, just a remake of the original King Kong movie.
Oh, because he dies at the end.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kong Skull Island takes place in the 70s, so this is like Godzilla vs. Kong is, 50? It's present day, so it's like 50 years later. So I think that's how maybe they're going to explain why he's a little bigger, because he grew in those 50 years.
Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense, because I was watching this trailer today, and I was like,
he was still pretty big in Skull Island.
He was, but he's bigger now.
I was watching this trailer, and I was like, they couldn't get Tom Hiddleston or Brie Larson or John C. Reilly or anyone to come back for this movie, but I forgot that it was like 40 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess they'd all be not with us anymore.
So Kyle Chandler was in the first.
They would just be older. You act like people from the 70s would just be dead now.
Well, I don't know. I've seen the Star Wars sequels. I know how it works.
Kyle Chandler was in the first Godzilla movie, right?
No.
No.
Bryan Cranston was the star. Well, sort of. That's what they marketed it as, coming hot off the heels of Breaking Bad. The next Bryan Cranston feature.
He's going to sell drugs to monsters.
He was in the Drew Barrymore from Scream sort of movie.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. 5 minutes in and it's like, oh, just kidding. It's the squeaky voiced hero from Kick-Ass.
It's Pietro Maximoff's movie.
Save that for later.
What's that guy? What's that actor's name? Aaron Johnson. Taylor Johnson. Wow, I'm shocked that I got two of those three names off the top of my head.
Isn't that the Home Improvement kid?
No,
that's
Taylor Thomas.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, JTT.
Versus
Aaron Taylor Johnson, ATJ.
King of the monsters.
ATJ sounds like the new Jeep vehicle coming out. The new Jeep ATJ.
Have some rugged music.
Special edition.
Yeah, but Kyle Chandler is in King of the Monsters, right?
Right.
Is Alexander Skarsgård in King of the Monsters?
No, I don't think so.
So it looks like...
The girl from Stranger Things was in King of the Monsters.
Yeah, that's
she's
some
in this too.
Connected
yes,
material.
Millie Bobby Brown is back. So I saw Skull Island, then the first Godzilla, but not the latest one.
Yeah.
And it like, I guess since the only Kong solo film was Skull Island, like there wouldn't be any connective cast tissue, but like I kept watching this trailer and I was like, oh, these are all Godzilla people.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, the timeline, that makes sense.
Yeah, it would have been nice if there was a little bit more of that connective tissue. They did a little bit of connecting the movies. Like when Skull Island came out, it's technically the second of the existing trilogy. There's definitely things that connected to Godzilla, like the organization Monarch that was in the first movie existed back in the 70s, and then I believe they're still, you know, around in the King of the Monsters movie. So there's ties, and then at the end of the Skull Island, I think they're showing like cave drawings or something, and you see Godzilla is on there, and maybe like Rodan or I forget who else, but they were loosely linked to begin with. You could tell that that's obviously where things were going. I can't remember what happened at the end of King of the Monsters that might help lead us into this. I think there is something, but I can't remember.
I don't know. I haven't seen it. Maybe I'll bump it up the list. When does Godzilla vs. Kong come out?
It comes out in March, and it comes out on HBO Max and in theaters on the same day.
I'm pretty excited about that, because that pretty much ensures that I will see it opening weekend.
Yeah, me too. I feel like, Ian, that's almost appointment television right there.
I hate an appointment, but I'll probably be there. I don't know. Don't pin me down.
This is the kind of movie, though, that really does feel like you're missing out not seeing it in a theater. Mm-hmm. I feel like there isn't much left at this point that I feel like, oh, I gotta watch that in the theater. I feel like giant monsters belong on the biggest screen possible. It just feels like, and then the roars that they make, it just feels right to be in that kind of a setting. So, probably will not be going to a theater for this, but I'll try to make it as exciting as possible at home. You know, pull the shades, make the popcorn, make it a thing.
Yeah.
That's what I did for Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
When I watched it. It probably helped make that movie more watchable, which it wasn't very.
It was unwatchable. I don't know. I won't be going to the theater to see this. Not because of COVID or anything like that, but most likely because I don't think that this is the kind of movie. Not that my wife doesn't like monsters fighting each other, but I can't imagine that this would be the first one that we would return to the theater for. Especially if it's available on HBO Max. She's definitely going to tell me to watch that shit at home.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know. In spite of that, what movie would you return to the theaters for? Like what movie to you feels like a better big screen experience?
Well, I mean, if we're just looking at timing, right? So let me take a look and pull up the list. I already talked about probably a couple of episodes ago. I could definitely see myself going to see Black Widow in the theaters. Big Marvel movie. I think that would be fun. So I could definitely see myself going back for that. Paul, when do you think you'll return to the theaters as I try to pull up? I want to pull up an actual list of movies and see if I can find something that's coming out that I would be interested in going back. But Paul, do you think, you don't think you're going back to the theater anytime soon, right?
No, I don't think there's any movie that could come out that I would have to go to the theater to see. I think what will get me back into theaters is when COVID's just over and like we can just start doing things and everyone's just kind of chill and not worrying about things again. But yeah, so long as there's still lockdowns in certain parts of the country or spiking, I don't think there's any movie that would get me to go into a theater. And I'm not even like a huge, like COVID, stickler about things. I'm generally not worried about like going out into public and like doing grocery shopping or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, being stuck inside a semi-humid theater with a bunch of people all, just breathing. Just putting their breath out into the room. And I don't know, like that. And like, if we were all like on an outdoor lawn, like I'd probably go watch King of the Monsters at like Frick Park before I would go to, Cinemark somewhere.
Yeah. I don't, in the way that I watch movies and the days and times that my wife and I go to the movie theaters, it's usually a weekday at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate there being any traffic to anything like that. So I could see myself in May going back and checking out Black Widow or checking out the new Fast and Furious movie. I definitely think I could see one of those movies in the theater.
I also have no desire to see any of those movies. I haven't seen any of the Fast and Furious. So.
You're missing out, dude.
Why would I?
And I'm not a big car guy or anything like that, but I'm telling you, those movies are fucking fun.
I'm going to watch them. All at some
point. Is it on the list?
It's not. It's
fictional list.
It's on a very tentative list.
Ah.
It's on the upcoming list. Just like I need to knock down some of these movies on there before I get into like I just did the Mission Impossibles, like all in a row. So I need to give it a little. I need to knock out some other stuff before I dedicate myself to what 7 or 8 Fast and Furious movies at this point.
Yeah, they go by fast.
There are some movies that I just can't be compelled to watch, and those movies definitely fall into the category. The latest Ghostbusters movie was another one.
You can't be compelled to watch?
Yeah, like they look just terrible, horrible. I've gone against my better judgment to enough movies to know, I think it's probably smart to trust my instincts on it.
I'm telling you, man, I felt that way about the Fast and Furious franchise for a while.
Ian, do you think these are movies for Matt?
Maybe not. I'm just saying that they're not terrible movies. They're entertaining. They really are. They're very entertaining movies, and they get progressively... This series begins with a pretty humble DVD player heist and end up where they're in Russia on a frozen ocean being chased by a submarine. That's like the last part of this. And it just gets progressively insane. And I love how crazy it gets. It's just totally nuts now. So I can't wait to see what they do. Space? Who knows?
Well, the director or the guy that runs it, like he's already said that, they're going to do space.
Cool. I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see how they do it.
Yeah, I think that I don't think these movies are for Matt. I think Matt would just be bored by their just goofiness. And not goofiness,
their ferocity.
But I think they're probably going to be just dumb and entertaining enough that I will love them once I watch them.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying that this is fucking highbrow or it's something that I'm, like, going to go to the mat to defend. It's fucking crazy, stupid fun. That's it. Like, The Rock's fun. Vin Diesel's fun. Like, there's
Jason
a lot of...
Jason Statham, a lot of fun.
I've seen a bunch of these movies. What's that?
Did you see Meg?
The Meg.
I've seen parts of it on TNT.
Jason Statham, he's so fun. That movie sucked.
Not a big shark guy.
I'd like to watch The Meg.
Even our most famous sharks, I'm like, kind of boring. So I'm out.
Yeah?
Yeah. Name a shark movie.
There aren't any.
Well, I guess Finding Nemo isn't a shark movie, but there's a shark in it.
Yeah. Didn't like it. Deep Blue Sea. Didn't like it. Jaws. Didn't like it.
You weren't entertained by the
porniness.
So I'm going to
take the advice. Hold on a second. I'm going to take the advice of somebody that's like, Jaws, not that good. But those Fast and Furious movies are really something else. I'm sorry. Jaws is one of the best movies I've ever seen. And if it's very meh for you, there's no way I can.
I didn't even say meh. I said didn't like it. Straight up.
I cannot.
You're softening my distaste for Jaws.
Yeah, I think that your level of credibility when it comes to judging the quality of a movie goes out the window.
I think Jaws is very good, but I also think I just watched something that was complete trash, but I loved it. Oh, Venom. Venom and Jaws are not on the same caliber. Like, they're not the
Matt,
same
I
caliber
think that
movie.
We,
but
even though
we
were on opposite sides right there on Shark Talk, I think we can unite once again with how stupid Paul is with what he's saying.
Jaws is a great movie. I love Jaws, but I was also very entertained by Venom. I finished Venom, and I was like, I like that. That was cool. I'm ready to watch another one.
In all honesty.
And I think that's how I will feel about the Fast and Furious
movies. In all honesty, I'm not above saying
silly.
That I like stupid shit.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
yeah.
I'm not either, but...
I was just done talking about... We were kind of both talking about, like, wouldn't the Godzilla Kong trailer be better if this was Limp Bizkit playing in the background? Like, I love dumb shit sometimes, man.
Yeah, like, I don't think Godzilla vs. Kong is going to redefine cinema. I think it's going to be a fun popcorn movie like Venom was.
Man, I can't believe that you liked Venom. Oof.
Yeah.
You know what?
I also don't give a shit about Venom. So, like, I wasn't watching Venom like, how dare they not include Spider-Man in his origin? I don't care. I also went into it like, this is going to be really bad. Like, I went in with the lowest of low expectations. So, it only had upward to go.
But everything else around it is fucking terrible.
Did we even like Tom Hardy in that?
I think this was the first thing I liked Tom Hardy in.
Really?
What is happening with this conversation? I can't even talk to you guys.
What else do we like Tom Hardy in?
Him as Bane is fucking good.
Oh, God.
It is good.
So no, that, there's nothing good about
your
that
precious
movie.
Bane.
That movie
I'm
is
sorry.
Fucking terrible. I don't even like Bane.
He didn't follow the Neil Adams original
the strict guidelines. And...
No,
well,
I don't
fun.
Care about
the fact that we can do that. That's fucking fun. Sorry.
Yeah, but that's not on purpose. That's not like Tom Hardy was so good. He gave us this goofy ass voice that
Tom
we
Hardy
just
didn't specifically
make, fun of.
Make that goofy ass voice. That's a goofy voice. That's a choice, man.
He didn't.
It wasn't just like some
it's a
fucking
choice
direction.
Voice.
He didn't make that voice to be like, this is going to be the butt of Bane jokes for the next 30 years.
He made it like, I'm going to have my face covered up. I'm going to have to do something interesting. What's the most interesting
and
thing
I
can do?
I don't
do?
Care that that's what he did. He didn't intend it to be.
You don't know
the
his
world's
intention.
Biggest Batman joke.
You don't know
that,
what his intention is.
I guarantee it wasn't to be the biggest joke of that fucking movie. And it fucking was. Except the plot.
Oh.
That movie stinks. Matt, I know you love it. That movie stinks.
Do you love it?
I don't think it stinks, but it stinks. No, I wouldn't say I love it.
Erroneous, Paul. Erroneous on all.
Erroneous.
See, that's fun.
But he didn't mean it to be funny.
You don't fucking know.
I fucking do know.
Did you talk to him?
There's no
you don't fucking
way
know.
That
you
dude
don't know.
Meant that to be a joke.
What should it have sounded like? Go.
It should have sounded like the guy from the animated
series. No, you do it. You do it. Let me hear you.
I can't.
You just because it's not fucking distinct at all, because nobody knows what the guy from the animated series sounds
it
like.
Have been
but
a
we
deep,
know what Bane really sounds like, and
it
he sounds
been a
like
deep
this.
Brazilian accent, because that's who Bane is. But instead, you get this like
that's
silly
what a Brazilian.
Well,
what about
that's what
Heath
a Brazilian
Ledger,
accent sounds
what
like.
What about Heath Ledger doing the Joker the way he did him, made him into Tom Waits?
Well, I guess this is the first step into multiple takes on Bane. Maybe the next one, like, we'll get a different version.
They're
of
all going to sound like that.
Well, the point I'm making
the
is
Harley
that
Quinn
all
version
of
does,
these...
Because it's fucking funny.
Yeah, it is funny. It's memorable.
Right, like, these larger-than-life characters have larger-than-life performances. What's wrong with that?
Ever think about that, smarty pants?
I don't hear us coming to Jim Carrey's defense as the Riddler. That was a larger-than-life performance.
But we remember
is that our Is that our baseline?
Yeah, sure.
It just needs to be larger than life, and it's an adequate performance?
No, it's memorable.
Well, I mean, it can also be well-written.
You think Bane was well-written?
Yeah.
You think it wasn't?
I don't fucking care. I didn't like the whole plot of that movie.
Oh, okay. No, I think Bane was really good in that movie. All jokes aside.
I think Bane would have been great if he wasn't just the pawn of Talia at the very end. Because the whole time you're like, oh, Bane has this agenda. And that's like, oh, Bane doesn't matter at all. She's just like, he's just like the tool. And he doesn't even know he's the tool the entire time.
A second in command cannot have meaning. Destro has
I
no
don't
meaning.
Think, but so long,
Starscream
but Destro
has
knows,
no meaning.
Destro and Starscream know
Bane knew who
they
who
are
he
second
was
in command.
Working for?
I think Bane
you just didn't.
Had bigger agendas and bigger meaning. And then he's just. No, inconsequential at the end. He just gets bumped off and killed at the end. No big deal.
Sometimes that's what happens to second in commands.
Sometimes it does.
Now,
sometimes you don't have to like it.
Now, we really barely talked about Godzilla versus Kong here. Did either of you find the fact that they were clearly setting it up for Kong to be the good guy, even though they established Godzilla as a good guy?
Godzilla gets punched a lot in this trailer.
That's what I thought, too. He really gets his ass handed to him.
Yeah.
He uses the atomic breath, like, a couple times,
and
he
misses.
And it
doesn't matter.
Right, it doesn't matter. It's like, shouldn't that put a hole through King Kong's
stomach? It's like Batman
stomach?
Going after Bane in Dark Knight Rises. It doesn't matter.
Right, right. King Kong picks up Godzilla and breaks his back
there's
over
a scene,
his knee.
There's a scene at towards the end of the trailer where Godzilla's doing the atomic breath.
And he's like, I was born in the darkness.
I was born in atomic breath. And Godzilla's coming down on it. And I don't know if he's holding something, but it's just hitting the something. And
it looks
like
he was holding a big, gigantic
stop
mirror.
Hitting what's in his hand. Shoot him in the heart.
Right, yeah. Let me shoot your weapon. Like this tiny little... Like, right. Shoot him right in the stomach. But they didn't.
Or shoot a leg off or something.
So
like that, Kong is nothing without the ability to jump. Shoot his legs out.
Right. Take out his knees or his Achilles, maybe.
Kong, you know Kong is not. He's nothing if he cannot stand.
Yeah. I mean, Godzilla, talk to Mario. I think he's fought this guy before. He'll get you. He'll help you out.
And that's Donkey Kong.
Do we
much
any
different?
Kind of,
much different than King Kong. Don't you dare!
Any kind
don't
of
you,
Kong. Any Kong.
How dare you lump all the Kongs together?
Yeah, is that racist?
That's fucked up.
What are you talking? He's that's based on King
gorilla-ist.
Kong. You dork. Donkey Kong's based on King Kong.
Oh, you're right, Matt. Thanks for cutting the legs out of that whole joke.
Much like
I'm sorry,
Godzilla would be smart to do in his battle against King Kong.
So, like, I don't like that they're fighting each other. I hope.
Who would you propose that they should fight in a movie called
any
Godzilla
of the other,
together?
Any
you
of the other
moron.
Godzilla bad guy?
No
Godzilla
you don't
bad
like
guys.
Anything. Because you're dumb.
I would prefer them. They fight in the beginning, like classic comic book team up. They fight in the
they're
beginning.
They're not good guys.
And
they're
then
monsters.
They, and then they get to. Well, they're fucking both
they're
good guys in their individual movies.
Right. In the especially the Godzilla movies, they sort of treat King Kong as, or Godzilla as the protector of kind of the Earth more than humans. Like, he's protecting against, like, other horrible kaiju. Or in the case of the three-headed dragon, what's that one's name?
King Ghidorah
or whatever.
Ghidorah.
That's an alien.
That three-headed guy?
King
right?
Ghidorah.
He's an alien. He's not even, like, a monster of this world. But I just find it interesting that they take two movies to build him up as kind of a hero, but he's clearly being colored as the villain of this movie, which
anti-reptile fucking agenda.
Very anti-reptile agenda. And do you guys have a preference one over the other? I kind of feel like when I was a kid, I liked King Kong better, but as I got a little older, I think I like Godzilla. I think he's a little more interesting.
I've always liked Godzilla. And, like, I kind of want them... Yeah, I want a big fucking monster team-up. I want all those other King of the Monsters monsters to come back from wherever they went at the end of that movie, and then Godzilla and King Kong do a fist bump, and they're like, let's get them. And then, like, Kong throws Godzilla, and they do, like, the Zilla special.
Ian?
I like it.
What corner are you in?
Godzilla all the way, man. King Kong's fucking boring.
Yeah, this is a Godzilla house.
Yeah, Godzilla just looks cooler, has a fun weapon with the atomic breath. I had
King
a Godzilla
just a big monkey.
Yeah, I had a Godzilla like little action figure back in the day. I didn't have any, not a lot of monkey action figures lying around.
We had that one from.
I mean,
from,
monkey in,
from the
did
Ghostbusters
anybody even have
cartoon.
Him? Wasn't the other
Ghostbusters. There was
a
gorilla.
Oh, yeah, that guy with the hat. Yeah. That guy sucked. Grape Ape. Is this a Grape Ape house?
We had Monkey in, but we all preferred Slythe and Jackalman.
Yeah, yeah. Monkey in sucked.
Monkey in
I'm
did
trying
suck.
To think of other, you know.
You know
the,
who counts?
The aforementioned
you know who
Donkey
counts
Kong.
As, you know who sort of counts? Beast Man. He's monkey-ish.
Yeah,
he's very
but
gorilla-ish.
But it's not explicitly... Monkey.
His name isn't Monkey Man.
because of all the lazy naming, they're like, nah, dog, we cannot have Monkey Man. Monkey Min?
Well, okay, guys, we'll keep it on track here. We'll run through some predictions and then some polynomics for this son of a gun. I am going to predict that Godzilla will win. King Kong will die at the end of this movie, and Godzilla will not be the villain by the end of the movie, nor will Kong, but that's what's going to ultimately happen. That's my prediction. Because King Kong dies, like, in all the King Kong movies, I feel like, at the end. So Godzilla kind of goes on and on and on and on. Plus, I feel like, generally, that's the more marketable character. So
Godzilla goes
gonna...
back into the sea.
Did they? Yeah. Was there a Mecha Godzilla that they had in King of the Monsters?
No, but I think you're going to get that in this, and the team up is going to happen against Mecha Godzilla. But anyway, that's my prediction. Godzilla will eke out a victory.
I saw a still.
Can we get odds on this? Is there betting?
I don't think that's a good idea for this house.
Godzilla and the points?
Last time we bet on Godzilla, it didn't.
He flamed my wallet.
Paul,
I saw a still from the trailer where it looked like Mecha Godzilla was like coming over the top of like the Joker stairs from Joker.
Yeah, there's some weird shit in that trailer. I noticed like some spaceships or something.
And like, yeah,
in that trailer.
I want them to go all fucking out. Like, I kind of like I still haven't seen King of the Monsters since we started recording this.
That's unfortunate.
I still haven't seen it. But like, I don't know what exactly they did in that movie, but I want them to just cut the brakes in this one. Let's just throw everything we have at this movie.
I kind of think they're gonna, but
I think they are gonna team up by the end. I think they're both gonna be good guys. I think the rights holders of Godzilla and King Kong are much like The Rock and Vin Diesel, where neither of them can lose on screen.
They can't share the same trailer. They can't be near each other.
Right.
two big egos.
Yeah, I think.
But there's still going to be a winner of the fight.
I don't think there is. I don't think there's going to be a winner.
No, man, there's always a winner. Jason beat Freddy. Batman beat Superman. Captain America beat Iron Man. There's always a winner.
I don't think there's going to be a winner. I think it's going to be left to the audience to decide. I think it's going to be a draw, and they're going to team up at the end. And if they don't, if it's really just a whole movie of them fighting and one of them beats the other one, I'm going to be like, what the fuck? And then if King Kong wins, I'm going to be outraged. But I think
what if King Kong's the good guy, though, the whole time, and Godzilla just is bad?
Well, they allude to something in this trailer. They're like, he never acted like this before. What's he doing?
I think they said, Godzilla's attacking people and we don't know why. Like, I think that's the line. And I love that level of crappy writing for what this is. It feels so appropriate.
Yeah, like I get that, you know, King Kong's more, you know, has, you know, more like human features and he can emote more and everything, but motherfuck, make Godzilla emote more. Lizards feel things. He's clearly feeling something if he's attacking these people now.
No,
he's never attacked people before.
That's what he said, yeah. I really want to get Ian's prediction on who's going to win this title bout. Now, Paul, okay, so you said you think it's going to be a draw. What if there had to be, you had to pick one or the other, which one would you go with?
I love Godzilla. It's good.
Godzilla's going to win.
Godzilla 10 out of 10. Like, if I'm writing this, like, immediately Godzilla just blazes King Kong through his fucking heart with his atomic breath. He's just a big monkey. Shoot him.
I felt so bad for Godzilla. Like, he shows up and King Kong's like immediately punching him in the face.
He takes a beating in that trailer.
He got no good licks in. I'm hoping he fares better in the movie. I almost hope there's another trailer that like shows the like from the other side.
Trailer 2 is the Godzilla trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt, I like where your head's at.
Thank you. Ian, who's going to win this fight?
I think Godzilla. I think logically Godzilla would win. So it's going to be hard, really hard twist of logic to make it so that King Kong comes out and is the victor. So yeah, Godzilla, like Paul said, he's a monkey. Shoot him in the heart.
Just right in the heart.
Just right in the heart.
Or take his legs out. That works too. That is how you defeat a monkey. That's a secret
tried
formula.
And true monkey defeating formula.
Take out their legs.
Yeah. First step, take out their legs. Second right. step.
Low tackle. Like, I want to see Godzilla take him out like a linebacker.
Yeah. Godzilla's in this trailer. Godzilla's going too high. He's getting stiff-armed into the ocean. Yeah,
right. So hopefully by the second battle that they have in that neon city, whatever that is, hopefully Godzilla has a slightly different game plan.
Hopefully Godzilla's coaches are like, check it out. I mean, look at this footage. You're getting your ass kicked. This isn't flag football. This is monster war.
I like to think that Godzilla's handlers or coaches. Are better game time managers.
They're big. Godzilla's coaches are big on halftime
adjustments. Yeah.
So when they're in the locker room, the monster locker room, and they're really going over the tape and like, we got to do this. We got to change this. Special teams really has to come through for us. Special teams is the atomic breath.
Clearly. Right. Or the tail whipping.
Yeah,
we saw him use that move in the first Godzilla. I don't know if he used it in King of the Monsters. I don't remember, Paul.
Is he getting rusty? He just doesn't, not
he
a big
might.
Tail whipping
guy
anymore?
I feel like he's got tricks that,
maybe he didn't need to use it in King of the Monsters, but maybe.
He was
he's
pretty
outmatched
in King of the Monsters against King Ghidorah.
Ghidorah.
Sorry, I said it wrong. All right, let's real quick give it a little polynomics and then move on to the main topic of the show here tonight, Paul. Why don't you give me your polynomics for Godzilla versus Kong?
My expectation is, I'll say a 6. I think it's going to be adequately entertaining. And my excitement is probably also a 6. I think I'm in the mood for a, you know, big CG knockdown, drag them out.
Adequately in the mood.
Yeah, like the old double 6.
66.
My expectation is also a 6. I think my excitement is a 5, and that is probably based off of the fact that I don't think I'll go see it in the theater. And to your point earlier, Matt, I think that this movie does take a hit for the small screen nature that we're likely all going to be watching it on. It probably would be really rad if we could go see it on the big screen and have the whole event and watch the monsters fight tall, larger than life, but we're not. It's just going to be on our TV.
Yeah, that is kind of a bummer, but I think also probably what kills your guys' enthusiasm is you didn't see King of the Monsters, so that might kind of hurt a little bit. If you had a little of that context, maybe it would help fuel your fire or your atomic breath for this particular movie. For me,
luckily, it's on Max, so maybe the next time we reconvene, we'll all have watched
it. Yeah, it's going to come out on HBO Max on March 26th, so it's literally from today, 2 months away. 2 months and a day, if you're even counting today, the 25th is a full day, which I really wouldn't at this point, Paul.
No, I wouldn't either. Why would we?
We're terrible counters. For me, I'm going to give it for excitement a 9. I'm very excited.
Matt, you fucking psychopath.
I know it doesn't look like the greatest thing ever, but like I think it's going to deliver on fun giant monster fights. And I think I can confidently say out of the three of us, I'm the biggest giant monster fan here.
Yeah, Ian, would you agree with that?
Yes.
Sadly, though, for expectation, I kind of feel like it's probably going to be about it. I'm going to be generous and give it a 7. I was going to say 6, but just the spectacle nature of like these two iconic characters fighting for the first time with any kind of like modern movie making magic is cool enough to get me in the door. But I think, you know what, I'm going to revise. I'm going to go to a 6, because if history has proven anything, it's that when you do get the Batman v Superman or the Freddy versus Jason, it doesn't usually deliver. Like Iron Man versus Captain America mostly delivered, right? Civil War was very good, but usually they come up short. So I'm going to say it's going to be a 6 out of 10, but here's hoping it turns into a 9 out of 10, Ian.
Well, Matt, I think a 6 out of 10 is still a passing grade. So well done for the early McSauce reviews for Godzilla versus Kong. What we have seen, however, is Cobra Kai Season 3. It took us a couple weeks, it took Ian a little bit to force himself to sit down and watch karate.
I'd imagine it was a normal amount of time.
Okay. Matt blew through it in, I think the entire series was 10 hours. Matt did it in 7.
That might be true.
we were our first episode, back, I think. Like, not even, like, 3 days since Cobra Kai dropped him out.
It was the day before Cobra Kai dropped.
Right? Did you guys watch it yet?
I come from the future.
Ian and I were like, no. I'm like, I'm a pretty quick watcher of stuff that that I really like. I'll bump it up to the top of the old watch list. But
this
fictional
watch list.
I mean, it did come out
fictional.
On New Year's.
Show the list. Show the list.
It came out on New Year's. You had the weekend after that. Like, what did it take, 5 hours to get through the season?
It's
like,
it's a quick watch. It's 10 half-hour episodes.
Yeah, not even,
you know,
half an hour.
10 hours long. The finale, 40 minutes.
Ooh, shit.
Big boy.
It's big boy. But we've all seen it. We're all caught up on our Cobra Kai. And I couldn't remember leading into tonight's episode. Like, Ian, you were underwhelmed by the Karate Kid, right? Because you hadn't seen that
until
you were an adult.
I think he hated the Karate Kid. I think Ian lays there at night trying to decide what movie he hates more, the Karate Kid or Jaws.
True.
Ian hates the 80s.
Didn't you first watch the Karate Kid?
Or the
Kid
70s?
For our, while no. we did it?
No, I've, what?
Well, he didn't remember.
No.
Like, he had
I
seen
haven't
it
watched the Karate Kid in a long time because I don't feel like I have the same relationship with the Karate Kid as you guys do. I watched the second one probably more than the first one growing up. Because I feel like I've watched that final battle a whole bunch.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Karate Kid was fine. It wasn't something that was a foundational block to my movie watching or young life being interested in different kind of genres. So whenever Cobra Kai came out, I was like, I don't know. Maybe I'll watch it. And Matt's shining review of the first season, I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot.
You really did rate that highly.
But man, and before I came here, I was talking to my wife about this. Cobra Kai is definitely blows away any of the Karate Kid stuff. I like it more than any of the other stuff. The first movie, the second movie, they just build and expand on that universe in a way that I would have never thought possible. I care for these characters in a way that I never thought possible. They flesh everything out so great. And I legitimately was sitting there just rooting for different things in the final. We just watched the final episode last night or Saturday night. And it was great. It was one of the best things that I've watched in a while. So,
I know there's no way to really answer this question, but do either of you think the story of this series would have been able to have been written if there wasn't the cult groundswell of Daniel's really the bad guy? In the coming through since the originals before Cobra Kai, like you would see, you know, memes and message boards, and you know, Daniel's the bad guy, Daniel fucks stuff up, like Johnny wasn't all that bad. Like, I think the internet and cult following really, really added to the lore of those three movies, and I think that sort of allowed them to go down this road. I don't know how accepting we would be of Johnny if it wasn't already in our heads that maybe Johnny's not the bad guy.
So I don't think it was... this is the first time that I'm hearing about any of that. Maybe it's because I'm not tied in or plugged into Karate Kid culture online. But yeah, it never crossed my thinking until seeing Cobra Kai and seeing the other side of the coin. And when you do see it, especially in the way it's presented in Johnny's flashbacks, yeah, this fucking new kid that came in and stole your girl, essentially, yeah, maybe he is the bad guy. I would imagine that there are bad guys in your life that probably see themselves as the heroes to their own story.
Looking at one right now.
Yeah, right? It would be very different if some, you know, asshole was just roughing you up about your dislike of Bane, and you have a really good reason to think that Bane was just watered down and not like the animated series. Certainly not. But I could see how that person would come across as a bad guy.
What a prick. can't Can't wait to see McSauce Kai season 3.
Oh shit.
Matt, you are probably the biggest Karate Kid fan here in the studio tonight. Why don't you give some instant react? Or I guess it would not be so instant since you watched it 3 years ago.
Since he had to wait for us for 3 fucking days.
Let me think here. Yeah, I liked it. I thought that it was pretty much on the same level as the first couple seasons. I guess I'm struggling a little bit to sort of separate the seasons. Like, it almost feels like they blend really well together. It's not like, oh, this was the season when blah blah blah. Like, it really does feel like it's one very sort of seamless
thing. Is that a problem?
No, but I'm trying to identify, like, which season was the best season. Maybe this one. Because this one, they went back to Okinawa, and I think that it acknowledged a little bit more of its history. Ian, I love the movies. I still think the movies are better, because I think they're a little bit more intimate, and I think I prefer, well, also they have Mr. Miyagi, which I think really adds to the charm of them. But I kind of feel like the relationships and the themes of the movies just being so simple, which is like father-son relationships, it's very strong. And I've been revisiting the soundtracks, which are excellent. And they are excellent in the new show, too, because they definitely are inspired by those films. But the Bill Conti music in those is so good. And I definitely like the show for what it is, but boy, is it different. It really is, like, in tone and everything.
From the movies.
From the movies, yeah. And the fight sequences, while more exciting, are less realistic, and they're kind of goofy.
I'm so invested in the story of the series that when a fight breaks out, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a karate show.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, agreed. Like, the end fight at the end of the second season when Tori has, like, those brass knuckles with the claws. Like, what is this girl doing? Is she trying to murder another girl in the high school over karate feuds? Like,
even in this season, whenever there's the all-out kid brawl... Right. At the house, I'm like, somebody's gonna get killed over, like, karate beef.
Right, over karate beef. It feels a little bit like in the original, especially the first movie, it was like high school bullies were just picking on Daniel, and they were taking it pretty far for high school kids. But in this, it's literally like a war is going on.
Well, like, if you think about the original movie, if Daniel would have had a crew like Johnny did, it would have been all out karate war.
I feel like the council people did wrong by the valley as a community by allowing more karate. Like, there's going to be some death.
one of my favorite things about the season, and I think it's one of the council members that says it. And they say something like, I don't know why the Valley is so
obsessed with karate. Yeah.
And it's
and Chris was like, karate,
it's
please.
It's just a nod.
Be respectful.
It's just a nod to, like, a little, like fourth wall breaking tip of the hat. Like, mm-hmm. You know, this
is weird
just,
shit, right?
We're acknowledging the fictional TV show nature of this.
But yeah, I think the show continues to deliver. I'm so glad that it's on Netflix now and not that dumb YouTube Red channel or whatever. The show, it's just pretty awesome that the show is just getting more and more popular. It seems to be like the most popular thing in the world right now. But like when you mix the the cameos and the callbacks to those movies, it almost like reveals to you, well, maybe not you, Ian, but Paul, reveals to you just how much those movies actually mean to you. When I saw the sequence when Allie showed up, it made me feel like a kid again. And like, it really took me back to that like high school romance, kind of like period in your life where all that shit was so important and like going on those stupid kinds of dates. Like there's something so, so nostalgic about the show, that works so well. The sequence when they went, the episode or two when they went to Okinawa, did anybody else kind of tear up a little bit when she read the Miyagi letter? Like, I was like, oh my God, first Luke Skywalker's making me cry, and now letters from Miyagi are making me cry. I seriously started wondering.
Man, you're a nostalgic ass bitch.
What is happening to me?
What made me realize like how big a part of my life Karate Kid was in the first season when they first bring back the music, and there's like the first,
when he first goes to the grave, right?
And you first hear the old music. That's when I was like, oh my God, like, and I felt like in that moment, like I had like all of the movies just like flashed through my head and all of my childhood. And I was like, oh fuck, like, is this like Star Wars to me?
It almost seems like that. That's kind of the point that I'm trying to make, is that it might actually mean more to us than we realize. When all these callbacks to all this stuff are hitting as hard as they are, it's like, oh my God.
I was disappointed by the Okinawa stuff.
Were you really?
Yeah, because they had teased online that they're going back to Okinawa. And I was like, oh, like this season is going to be Okinawa. Like, I guess my brain just went into overdrive.
How could you take all of the characters?
I thought it would be some school trip or something. I don't know, but it wasn't all the characters to me. I was like, it's some, from some reason,
Karate Kid Far From Home.
For some reason, Daniel and Johnny are going to have to go to Okinawa. And just the idea of Johnny, like, Johnny's already like a fish out of water in modern times, but Johnny in Okinawa and like Johnny and Chosen meeting, like that's the stuff that like my brain just, I guess I just overreached, but like that's what I wanted. Like I wanted Okinawa to have more of an impact on the season for more characters than just Daniel for one episode.
But it doesn't really mean anything to anybody but Daniel.
It's very personal. It's like,
I get it, and I understand why they did it, and how it worked out plays great into the lore of Daniel and Miyagi's relationship, and Miyagi's relationship with Japan, and Daniel's relationship with Japan. Like, it worked great, but I wanted more time there, or something more impactful to happen.
I don't. Well,
his business was saved.
His business was saved.
Like, is that impactful?
And then it had the most emotionally.
I mean, I guess, but he went there for business.
Right.
There were all these different other ways that it could have been saved.
It had,
and then the girl you saved when you were a kid just happens to run.
Well, that was a little dorky, but yeah, like whatever. But it had the most emotionally impactful sequence in the whole series. It brought back whatever her name was.
Kumiko,
and I thought that their reunion was not quite as cool as I thought Johnny and Allie's, but still like really awesome.
Well, Johnny's and Allie's still has like a love triangle-ness to it, because I don't think Allie's gone yet.
I think she's gone.
Oh, you think that's it?
Yeah. Yeah, because it seemed like
Elizabeth,
he's ready. Her
purpose was to unite these two warring factions.
Yeah, and let Johnny kind of move on and focus on.
Yeah, like she doesn't
Miguel's
have any
mother.
Utility anymore. Like she did the thing that she was there to do.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was
awesome
to see her again.
You know, split those two guys up.
Yeah.
And she's the reason why they're at Karate War. Karate War. Sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah, I kind of don't see her coming back, but I mean, whatever, if they want to bring her back, I'm not sure how she fits into things, but I'm quite happy with Johnny moving forward with Miguel's mom. Miguel might not like it so much, but hey, that's his problem. Robbie was a little less sickening to me.
Better haircut.
Better haircut goes a long way. Unfortunately,
it fucking does.
Unfortunately, they were not able to replace his mouth. I don't know what it is. I hate his mouth.
Like the way he talks? Like, the way his mouth moves. The way when it he looks. Talks?
Yeah. Like just his face, like his mouth in particular. It's always kind of like in kind of a kind of kiss you looking scowl like this. I know listeners, you can't see it, but just
Matt, well, listeners, trust me when I say I can see it. And Matt's doing a pretty good job. You did it before you actually did it. And I knew exactly what I was looking at. I did. I'm not even fucking with
it's,
you. I did.
I don't know what it is. I don't like looking at this kid.
Well, like we had, he was too pretty for us in the first two seasons because he is. He was like, you know, modern day Jonathan Taylor Thomas. The episode comes full circle. But yeah, they gave him
Robbie Taylor Thomas.
They gave him more of a, you know, just messier haircut now. And but like I one of the things that the show's done is really walk the line between who characters are and when to like them and when not to like them and who's really good and who's really bad. Like they really make you hate Hawk.
Yeah.
And then they find a way to turn him back around. They did it with Kreese a little bit. Not this season. I think last season when you find out Kreese is living in, like, you know,
some halfway house or whatever.
Halfway house, and you're like, oh, I kind of feel bad, you know, for Kreese now. But I don't think you should ever feel bad for Kreese, because even though they showed his backstory, I'm like, Kreese is still a fucking piece of shit.
Right.
But with all the kids, like, I can't, like, they're pushing Robbie and the girl with the Wolverine knuckles.
Like, what was her name again? It begins with a T.
Tori. They're pushing those characters to, like, the edge of unlikableness, and they did it with Hawk, but then they were able to bring back Hawk, and it's kind of the way they've been dealing with, maybe to a less extreme sense, with Daniel and Johnny this whole time, where, like, you're playing both sides. Daniel fucks up, Johnny fucks up. Johnny gets it right, Daniel gets it right. And I think that's part of the really good writing of the show, is that you're kind of all in on everyone but Kreese.
But Kreese. But not Robbie either.
Ian, you a Robbie guy?
I heard you guys talking about his hair. Very much needed improvement. That haircut in the first two seasons had to go.
I liked how he was in, like, juvie, and he's kind of getting his ass kicked, but he was sort of, like, laughing about it in the one sequence. And I liked that he's a little bit nuts. I kind of like that.
Get nuts?
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. But I think they're, number one, Paul, to your point about, like, people switching sides and stuff, it feels like pro wrestling, really, like, with these, like, kind of ridiculous, like, good guy and bad guy swings, which might wear out faster than we think it's going to if, you know, this crap keeps going on. So, but it's Netflix, so don't worry. They're not going to keep it going for more than another half season.
Well, I think it worked this season, because by the end of the season, you get, you know, Kreese goes out and recruits some psychopaths.
Right, right. Some real people
some
for us.
Some true Cobra Kai
right,
bad guys.
Like the old school.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the old school, the horrible Cobra Kai was really just Dutch. You know, everyone
yeah, I mean,
else
Johnny was,
I mean,
a bad guy.
Johnny was a dick.
They were all dicks.
Yeah, they were They're bad guys. They're but the like, bad guys.
Dutch was the only one that was like, I fucking hate this guy. From the second I saw him on screen as a kid, I was like, when he like rolls and cracks his neck, I'm like, fuck this guy. But like, I love how like Bobby's part of the show, and he's a reverend now, and he's kind of like the angel on Johnny's shoulder. Like, I love that he, and I think he's so good. Like, that actor's so good in this. Like, I think he's a really good counterpoint to have as, like, Johnny's buddy. Like, I loved
That's
those
the kid.
Scenes together. I loved the Cobra Kai reunion last season. Mm-hmm. And
it was really touching.
The one guy actually died from cancer. So, to see, like, them still bring Bobby back, like, it, I fucking love that. Like, I feel like some of the most touching scenes to me were all the Johnny Bobby scenes.
Yeah, I thought that if you think about it, Bobby could have beaten Daniel in the All Valley tournament, but Kreese made him get disqualified.
Yeah.
More Kreese evilness.
And Bobby's the first one. As soon as he does it, like, he's almost crying an apology to Daniel. Like, he hates that he did that.
Yeah. Yep. And he was sticking up for Johnny at the beginning of the second Karate Kid movie. And then Kreese, like, elbowed him in the chest or something. Like, attacking children.
It's just, Kreese is just the ultimate evil, even with his backstory. And you're like,
well, okay,
he's just
so
a fucking bad guy. And that's what the show needs, I think.
Let's talk about the ultimate evil for a minute, because they're clearly moving toward bringing back Terry Silver, main villain from the Karate Kid Part 3. What do we think about this? He's the most over-the-top character that the show has ever had, including the Cobra Kai TV show. He's ridiculous. He loves being evil. He's so much more evil than Kreese.
I'm going to have to go back because I do not remember Karate Kid 3 at all.
I haven't
he's
seen...
He's horrible.
Yeah, he is.
But he's so likable at the same time.
I haven't seen 3 in so long. But I love that this show is not... It doesn't seem to be dismissing any part of the Karate Kid movies at this point. Because...
Hilary Swank?
I've heard rumors that she's...
I bet
she's
you,
on the
she
way.
Would, yeah.
Like, there's plans for her to be part of it. But...
Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
It's really bad.
I saw it a long time ago. I can't speak to its quality.
I watched some scenes from it recently, like on YouTube. It is so cringe bad.
So, that's fine. It may be cringe bad, but it is still Mr. Miyagi. Like, and there's, like, in...
That's like saying it's still Han Solo in the Christmas special. Like, no, it's not.
But I think... Cobra Kai has been so good, it can make up for those characters. Hilary Swank is a great actress. Like, she can just come in as someone Daniel knows, someone else Mr. Miyagi trained, and just be part of the Karate Kid family. Like, I think there's
I have faith that the writers can blend her stuff in.
I think there's a... As cringy as that movie may have been, I think there's a way that they roll her in like it ain't no thing. But like Terry Silver, I think, too, they can absolutely do that.
And then Mike Bad Boy Barnes, the dude that they hired to beat the crap out of Daniel.
Yeah. I love that they acknowledge that stuff, because I thought for sure they were going to be like, it's the Karate Kid's a 2-movie franchise and we're not going to do the rest of this. And then we get scenes.
Well, the Karate
from
Kid
3 and I was
is
like,
good.
Shit. We're doing this.
Like, that movie's still the same director and same writers. Like, it's a good movie. And I liked Mike Barnes, actually. I thought he was a good bad guy. I've always kind of wondered, could Mike Barnes beat Johnny Lawrence in a karate fight? Probably. Interesting fun fact, the dude that played Mike Barnes is from Newcastle, Pennsylvania, just a few miles up the road from us here.
Mm. Homegrown. Karate.
Homegrown. Karate talent.
And I've seen interviews with him that he did with like YouTube channels and stuff in, you know, the last year or so, and he's like, I would love it if they brought me back.
Well,
so
everyone knows Western Pennsylvania is known for football players and karate.
Right. The All Valley tournament is based on the Newcastle
the Valley
Steel
of,
Valley tournament.
Yeah. Right. It just moved out
west.
Out there as everything moved west. It was just another thing that we exported.
This was this was the home of it.
So Mike Barnes, the actor, he's ready.
He's ready. He wants to do it. It was kind of it was a cool interview where he was talking a lot about like the making of it and stuff and how when he got on set because it was like his first movie. He saw Ralph Macchio and he's like, you know, I saw him and I thought we would like kind of hang out and like we would be buddies and stuff, but they really didn't want me to be around him. So they like he's the big star of the movie. They kept me kind of at arm's length.
So we saw Ralph Macchio, Billy Zabka, and
Martin Cove
at one of the Steel City cons
before.
The rebirth.
Oh, before any of
when
this
no,
was
right,
even
no,
a thing.
Their line was negative. It was so short you could walk up to them. Whereas if you went up to them now,
and Matt like,
pretending there's no COVID, there'd be a long line. Paul,
I forget who I walked up there with. I think it was probably you.
Yeah,
we did a lap and we stopped at Martin Cove's table, and I was like, man, he looks so thin, but his face was just like, that's Martin fucking Cove, like. Just that big old mean head.
Yeah.
And then like we
carved
you know,
out of steel.
Was that the same one where we met Tom Wilson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Biff from Back to the Future.
Not
fame.
The Washington Capitals forward.
Goon.
Right.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. I was like, what fucking
yeah,
steel
we, and we,
city
um,
con were did
and
that
we're not,
happen at?
And this was before we were getting, you know, Mixos podcast plugs. From celebrities, hey, can you say you listen to the Mixed House podcast? And people would do it. Ernie Hudson
came up to us and he was like, I love your
right.
show.
Eddie McClintock does it. This is before we were doing that. So we just kind of stood around the Billy Zabka table and the Ralph Macchio table. But like we saw them. And later on in the con, like I was just buzzing some booths, like looking at toys and stuff. And there's Billy Zabka looking at some fucking action figures in some booth, and he had like a handler with him. I was like, hey man. He was like, hey.
Well, that's, apparently
that's cool
how
like, yes
that's how oh, he said hey to you.
Yeah,
cool. That's apparently how D. Snyder came to have a cameo in the show. He met D. Snyder at one of these conventions, and Billy Zabka was like a big fan of Twisted Sister, so he was telling him about, yeah, we're doing this thing. Maybe, you know, if you're ever interested in maybe having a part in it or something. And I guess they kept in touch. And that's why D. Snyder ended up in the show.
It did seem very random, but it still also made sense.
It fit the character.
Yeah.
It 100% like fit the character.
And I love that D. Snyder is what got Miguel walking again.
Wow.
It's just like an adrenaline shot to your fucking broken spine.
That's right.
you know who else with a broken spine was inspired to walk again by D. Snyder?
Stephen Hawking.
Batman is the correct
That's
answer.
That's what got him out of that cave.
Yep.
Well, that and I think they hung him upside down and punched his back or something. And D. Snyder, while they were playing,
I mean,
D.
they
Snyder.
Muted the music in the movie. It's muted. You can't.
You remember that song I played for you, "Hardcore" by D. Snyder?
That was nope. was that the anthem that got
was
Bruce
that,
Wayne to walk again?
Was that in Karate Kid?
They were playing Twisted Sister in Cobra Kai. But the song goes because it's hardcore. It goes hardcore, nothing less,
nothing
more.
I do remember that.
It's
song.
A good song.
Pretty rad.
Matt, do you want to give us your final polynomics for season 3 of Cobra Kai?
Well, my review would be probably like an A. No, it would be it's a 9. It's a 9. It still has Robbie's mouth, so I can't give it a 10. But it's really good. I can't wait for the fourth and final season. It feels like this could be the final season.
I don't think that they have much left on the runway. They can wrap it up in one more season.
I think they can wrap it up. I don't know if they will
wrap it up.
Netflix definitely is like, we got a hard out at 4.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like they have done that, and it doesn't make sense to me. If something's hot, like Mindhunter, keep it fucking going, you idiots.
Mindhunter is one thing, but I think that this 4 seasons of this, there has to be a point of diminishing returns or something. I'm sure
Although
smarter people than
ever.
Us have figured this out.
Yeah,
this show is bigger now than it's ever been.
Right,
so. I do agree.
But there have been no reports of this is it, we're wrapping it up.
No.
Fourth
maybe,
and final
just
season.
Based on,
maybe they'll do 2 more.
Based on our gut feeling, Netflix usually only does 4 seasons. And based on how much show we think is left, I think there's 1 more season. I'll
tell you what, Sabrina finale sucked.
Spoilers.
Do you watch that?
Sometimes.
I mean, finish it, but... you're not going to be satisfied. Like, I had to go online afterwards and is this the end? Are we getting something else? Like, this is it?
That's a bummer.
It was almost like the Dexter finale. I was like, huh?
This a lumberjack.
Is, this is what we're doing? Sabrina's cutting down logs. So, Matt, big number 9, final polynomics. I'm going to give it a 9.2. I fucking love this series. Mm-hmm. Pretty great. Ian?
I also... Cobra Kai, Cobra 9, all across the board. Give it a 9. I fucking loved it. I fucking loved this season of this show.
What I will say is, like, I understand the kids are a big part of it, but I don't fucking give a shit about the kids. I like Miguel. Fuck all the other kids.
See, I loved all the Miguel training stuff with him and... you know, just getting that hard love
that
he needed. It was just so, like, Johnny's such a dickhead, and I love it. The way that he's just, this kid has a spinal injury, and he was just like, fuck, get up. And I love the whole Facebook photo shooting and him, Johnny, trying to, like, essentially be somebody that he's not.
I loved how he wrote that really heartfelt response to Allie.
I
love he's like, oh, that's
that.
Too long. Not much. Was
yeah.
like what he went
like. What,
not much.
Not
what's
much
up with
you.
You?
Like, amazing. Johnny was just, for me, Johnny, and throughout this series, is the standout character. To me, it's his show, and he is the reason why I really tune in every week. It was fucking great.
Yeah, Johnny's great. All the, like, I like the Daniel stuff. I love when Daniel's wife stood up to Kreese.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they really gave her some teeth this season. And, like, this season is when, because I feel like I've always been, you know, team Kumiko. Daniel, go back to Okinawa. But this season, I was like, oh, no, this is the girl for Daniel. I think all of, like, I love all the adult cast. Like, I'm all in. I love the kids stuff, too.
I love...
You can't have a lot of... the adult
fans
stuff...
Fans, rewind 5 minutes ago when he was like, I couldn't give a fucking shit about these kids.
Well, I love the kids stuff because you can't... A lot of the adult stuff is... It's all driven by the kids. But my heart is not with the kids. Like, the kid that gets his arm broken, I'm like, man, you and Hawk, just, like, I don't know. Go fight each other a little bit. But I want to... Like, I'm ready to start drinking Coors Banquets because Johnny is inspiring.
What a missed opportunity for tonight.
Yeah.
I also like Daniel's cousin and that other employee that works for him. Like, they just crack me up. Like you said, the adult characters. Yeah, I agree. I feel like there's something about the adult characters in this that kind of resonate more with me. Maybe because I'm an adult. I don't know.
I don't know
on paper.
I don't know if it's so much that we are also adults or that Johnny and Daniel are the characters from our youth as it is they are compellingly written in this series.
I would be curious though to hear like if there's a teenager or early 20s that person that's watching this show if they're connecting more with the younger cast or with the older characters. I would be curious to find that out. So for you younger McSauce listeners, let us know on the social That's, you can at
Gint underscore McSauce or
the sauce
or
Little Depressed Matt.
Or Facebook or Instagram. If you're a fucking kid and you like the kid characters, you know where to hit us up on socials.
If you're a fucking kid.
That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Matt Cassell.
We'll see you next time.